He's from the north.
She's from the south. And we want to know what's in your mouth. Oh. Hello, hello, and welcome to In Yo Mouth. I am your Imelda Marcos, your shoe queen, your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And sitting next to me is the one, the only, Sarah Palin. Oh. My best gal pal, Marie.
Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Wow. Tina Fey? You mean?
No, just a pig in lipstick. No, wow. I can't do all of that. I can't. Wow. I couldn't even get that out of my mouth. That's too terrible.
I do like to shoot a moose.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, in the bedroom.
That's right.
Right. Oh my goodness.
How are you? I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. I'm great. Oh. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad. I'm happy to be back in New York City.
Yeah, you were on tour for so long.
Oh my God.
But yet we put out all those fabulous episodes.
I know. I was so proud of us.
You should have been so tired flying back and forth and back and forth.
The In Your Mouth jet was, thank God that we are millionaires. I know. Independent.
I mean.
Just to pop in.
What would we do without that Trump Airlines? You know, the best in private flying.
No, I'm very proud that we were able to pre-record all those episodes, and I think we did a good job.
We did a good job celebrating Travis and Simone.
I know.
And our celebrities.
I know. When I was listening to it, I was like, oh my God, are we going to get fired for
Oh my God. No, we're going to be fine. Well, I'm really, really excited today because today we are talking about and celebrating diversity. Oh my God. We're out of practice. Alexa doesn't even have that sound up, girl.
Oh my God, girl.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Jesus.
No, but it's Pride Month and number 45 hasn't even acknowledged it for the second year in a row. So
what? Second year in the row?
For
in a row,
second year in a motherfucking row, mm-hmm. It's fucking, he's just not into it.
He just doesn't, they don't acknowledge that it's Pride Month whatsoever.
You know what? And you know what? It's okay because the gays will ruin you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about that. So, hello, there it is. The gays will ruin you.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but
we're
so
gonna
we're
talk
here.
All about diversity.
We're here to celebrate like the diverseness between Marie and I and our like living experiences here in New York City. Supporting immigrant-run restaurants. You know, mm-hmm. Very light-hearted topic.
Yeah,
you know.
Nothing too deep. No.
Whipped cream and maraschino cherries. Oh my goodness. But before we even get into all of that, how was tour? What did you put in your mouth? Because I know that tour life, you know, love them and leave them. Hit it and quit it.
The first week I felt like I was doing so well on my diet, mm-hmm. on my just doing it mm-hmm. diet.
Just doing it, yes.
But second week we got to Charles. First, so we were in... Let's see if I can get this right. We were in St. Louis, Columbus, Cincinnati, and then Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first got to St. Louis, the people that were hosting us for this event catered with barbecue. I think you saw on Instagram, y'all.
I think I loved our Instagram arguments. Our Instagram story battles.
While I was diving into a pool of meat, you were at the vegan.
The New York City Vegetarian Food Festival, and they were the loveliest, loveliest people.
I bet.
Shout out to Brew Doctor. Brew Doctor Kombucha. Uh-huh. They were very lovely. They wanted to know more about us. We may have them on.
Ooh,
drink a lot of kombucha.
Oh, I love kombucha.
Really?
With vodka in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I love that. So when I was in St. Louis eating all this meat, you were eating vegetables, which was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to Columbus, we were grilling hot dogs on a campfire, which was really fun. In Cincinnati, we had lots of bar food because that's what you eat there.
Yeah.
Chili and stuff.
Yeah.
Tons of buffalo wings, you know, the diet.
Well, you know,
no carbs.
It's chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken, protein.
But as soon as we got to Charleston, that's my Mecca.
I mean, you can take the girl out of the South.
As
But you can't take the south out of her.
Oh, come here. But I did very, you know, immediately I want like cornbread. I want the mac and cheese. And
Republicans.
Republican diac.
Yeah, mm-mm. You know.
No, I didn't. I didn't have
just
any.
Just pink peepees. The pink, white, and blue.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But we did go out to eat a lot. But then equally as much, we were staying with this family that cooked for us a whole lot. So the first night we were there, they made steak au poivre.
Oh, yeah. A poivre.
A poivre?
Yeah.
How do you say that?
A poivre.
Steak au poivre.
Yes, we are French.
Oh, yes. This French.
A couple weeks ago, we were Giada di Laurentiis Italiano. Today, we are French.
Yes. Oh, man, it was Menage so good. But they were, like, astounded at how much I ate. Like, they all cut their fillets in half, and I just, like, unhinged my jaw and put the entire thing out.
Sounds like a Friday night to me. You know?
Oh, but it was so good. But then also, all over that damn town, I had oysters. And I know you're not supposed to have oysters, I guess, in May, right? You're supposed to have oysters in months that end in R, E-R.
Oh, really? When yeah. I was in Chapel Hill, mm-hmm. I had oysters too.
Oh, yeah?
Straight down the throat.
Oh, wait. I had an oyster shooter.
Oh, my God. And you almost threw up. I saw you. I saw you. If you all follow our Instagram story, which has actually become very, very humorous, unbeknownst to us, so we think, Marie posted her oyster shooter, and she almost yacked.
Well,
and
you
I told
said
you
that
you would.
Yeah, you had one recently.
I had two. I lost.
How did you do two?
Well, because I lost an epic rock, paper, scissors battle that went into overtime four times.
Wow.
And the whole restaurant was involved by then.
What? And then you had to do two?
And then I had to do two. And how big was your oyster? Because mine was huge.
Gigantic.
Yeah, it doesn't go down.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I thought, I was like, ooh, I'll just shoot this. And I was like, and then there was this huge, gigantic oyster in the back of my throat that I then had to just like chew up.
And yeah. like you're gagging because the vodka they'd put in there was not very good.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it's spicy. And you have this big, like, wad of something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, folks, people compare oysters to semen. Mr. Paul Fauti, master of the semen cookbook. But it's not.
Yeah.
Semen is easier.
Semen is definitely easier.
You don't have to chew it.
Yeah. Oh, God, Jesus. I hope you never have to chew. Yeah, kids, don't ever chew semen.
Oh, my God.
Gross.
Dare to not chew semen.
But when I was in Charleston, I'm reading this book right now called The Potlicker Papers, A Food History of the Modern South, and it's by John T. Edge.
Oh, I didn't think that's where you were going with potlicker.
I know. Mm. Do you know what potlicker is?
No. I would assume it's what happened to me in Fort Lauderdale this last weekend.
Oh, I can't wait to hear these stories.
But go.
Well, potlicker is the pot liquor.
Oh, so yeah, like bottom of the pot.
Yeah, so when you cook down your collard greens. So what I was reading, while I was in Charleston sitting on a dock in James Island, this book is talking about all the plantations that were in that area during the antebellum era. And nowadays, the farms that still exist there, they grow the crop, they grow the greens, mustard greens, collard greens, and they give them to over a dozen restaurants in Charleston. But so what this book talks about, the pot liquor, in the antebellum era, when the slaves were cooking all the food, the white slave owners only wanted the collard greens to eat. But the nutrients was in the liquor, the broth. And that's what they would take home and feed their families and stuff.
Oh, liquor. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot that was a term.
Yeah.
You just reminded me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Liquor, who knew?
Liquor in the front, poker in the back. No.
But it was I mean, like, just to be reading this book, because I'm just interested in, like, the history of Southern food and how, you know, obviously it was influenced by the black slaves.
Well, let's get into it for a minute. I mean, we're celebrating
diversity.
Yeah, we're celebrating diversity. The diversity between us is that you come from a very different just cultural background than I do, being from the South.
Well, so,
you know,
it's weird
I'm a Yankee over here.
Well, my parents are Yankees. My mom is from Detroit. My dad is from Brooklyn. They met in Florida. Which is the most northern state, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 1 year old, I was born in Florida. And when I was 1 year old, we moved to Nashville. So my parents and theory are like pretty, they can be northern in some ways, but then they've also been in Nashville for over 30 years or so. So I kind of was, exposed to the best of both worlds almost. My grandparents definitely were like Yankees. and the things that they cooked.
So do you eat? What's the question here? The question here is, when you're there, this Southern food, obviously coming from the slaves and influenced heavily by the slaves.
Yeah, soul food.
All the soul food. Mm-hmm. Is it, do you venture beyond that? And is there a avenue to do that where you're from, to venture beyond just this soul food and experience a little bit more diversity, a little bit, yes, it's very important. And I'm not disqualifying or discrediting any of that, because that's very important history and that's kind of what you know. But do you know, like growing up and whatnot, do you, and even now going beyond that in Nashville, is that all you eat? Is Hattie B's hot chicken and so-and-so's collard greens and,
growing up in Nashville, like that type of Southern soul food is very present, especially when you go to picnics or any like church gatherings and things. Like that is what you're probably going to see at a potluck dinner, is like mac and cheese, collard greens, cornbread,
not crab fried chicken.
No. I mean, no, not at the Westminster Presbyterian Church picnic.
No vegetable lo mein.
No. But what's really interesting in Nashville is that it actually has the largest Kurdish population in America in Nashville. And so there's that. Yeah. Kurdish from Kurdistan.
Yeah. Kurdistan.
Yeah. Holla
Kurdistan. Kurt, when's the last time you heard about Kurdistan?
I know, right now on In Your Mouth.
Hello.
But I think with the thing that I find the most interesting with soul food and collard greens, I was reading up on collard greens and how much white people have taken the standard recipe of collard greens. And that's like usually, I guess, way back when they would cook it with like a ham hock and or salt.
I mean, salt pork. Yeah.
Salt pork.
I mean, is there any other way?
Well, so I was reading.
It's very influential. Like pork is very influential in like Puerto Rican food and Latin foods as well.
Right.
So it's like, in my mind, it's like, is there any other way?
Right.
Cause
right.
Because even when vegetarians come over at my house, Mama Gladys
always has some.
She's learned to take it out now, but she's like, they can have the rice. I'm like, it's pork laden.
Oh my God.
She was like, they won't know. There's no actual pork in it. Yes, there is. There's pork water and pork seasoning.
Oh my God, Gladys.
Yeah.
Well, I was reading about collard greens specifically just because of this book that I'm reading about the South. I guess a couple years ago, Whole Foods tweeted like this new recipe. Like, try this new recipe for collard greens. And it was like collard greens with cranberries and peanuts.
Blah.
And like Black Twitter was like, oh, fuck you. And it just like blew up about like, how dare you take our food and try to make it into something and make it like, oh, we've discovered this thing called collard greens.
So this is another interesting question. Where does that cross the line between new recipes and cultural appropriation? Because look at all these amazing chefs. Like let's talk celebrity chefs. Alex Guarnaschelli, Mike, what's his bucket on the chew? Carla.
Mario Batali.
No, we can't talk about her. And all these people, like, they're taking these things and, and
well,
doing
Sean,
something new. So it's like, where do we cross the line here? Really? And that's a really interesting kind of road to go down.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Sean Brock is one of the most famous celebrity chefs right now. And he, you know, he had opened Husk in Charleston and now he's opening, he has one in Nashville. But his cookbook, he has a recipe for collard greens with peanuts. And it's like a slow roasted collard green type thing. But he is a white man taking this, you know, very historic type of food. But
once again, it's like,
Right, you can't.
Are we only going to make collard greens one way for the rest
right,
of our
no,
life?
No, we can't do
no,
that.
No, we can't do that.
It's in the garden. You can prepare yeah, it however right, you want to.
Exactly.
But don't be telling me that you're the first person
yes, that's,
to discover.
Okay, so we figured it out. That's where it crosses the line.
That's why Hattie B's.
We are deep in this, honey.
Yeah, that's why I have my biggest problem with Hattie B's hot chicken is that they, I mean, in their marketing, they kind of play with the idea that they invented hot chicken, which is not true. Black people started hot chicken a long time ago.
Is Hattie B's not African-American or black owned? No.
No, my
no.
Man.
Folks, this podcast is your, like, you know, vacation from reality, but it would be a disservice to our community that we live in, the community that we serve, if we didn't kind of educate you and talk about, like, real things sometimes. We need to.
But it was constantly on my mind in Charleston because as much as, like, it's 2018, that city is the most, is still the most, one of the most segregated cities.
I mean,
I think.
I was in Chapel Hill and we went to
Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Yeah.
Mama
what was
Dips.
That like?
Mama Dips.
What's Mama Dips? I've
it's
never heard
the
of
oldest
this.
Black owned restaurant in
America?
I don't know if America, but it's really, really old. I don't know. And you know what? Look it up, y'all, because we can't bore you with too many facts today. But it was incredible. It was freaking incredible.
So was it soul food?
Yeah, it was soul food. Mm. Oh my God, the hush puppies, Jesus.
Oh God.
The hush puppies.
Well, Google where those came from.
The fried chicken and all the things, just all the things. But 2 weekends ago, I was in Fort Lauderdale. And it's very funny that Marie and I decided to do this topic today because we both had very interesting experiences with kind of diversity in our travels, unbeknownst to us, that like later on it kind of came to surface and it was like, oh, look at this. Like we're so different and we're on different travels, but look how we meet in the middle on this one topic.
Yeah.
So Fort Lauderdale, I
had no idea you were going on vacay.
Yes. I threw the phone out the window and I left. I had a little bit of a little bit of a life meltdown.
Oh,
where,
honey,
you know, there was a lot of change.
I left town and you were like, I can't
yes,
handle
I
it.
I can't live without Marie.
Oh, God.
Right? And
I
so,
wish every man was like that.
Well, you know, get a gay man in your life.
I have one and I love him.
You
dearly.
Have several.
I do.
So, yeah. So I just, you know, you have these days. It was just a bad day. I was like, fuck everyone. Fuck this. I need to get out. A retreat. I needed to do something for me. And so one day I booked a flight to Fort Lauderdale. The next day I booked the gay guest house and the...
Oh.
And then 2 days later, I was there.
What? Really?
Yeah.
And like, were you inspired by Simone's solo travel?
Girl, I've been traveling. I've been traveling solo. No shade at Simone because we love her. And that was a great freaking episode.
I know. I love that episode.
Yeah. So, went to Fort Lauderdale, had the best time, even though it rained. I was in the middle of a tropical storm, but still naked in a pool, in a 90-degree pool, honey. But the most interesting thing... Besides the crab cake BLT.
What the fuck?
And the conch.
The conch.
Fritters.
Conch fritters are my favorite fucking food.
Conch fritters.
Conch fritters.
I love a conch fritter. I mean, I just like saying conch fritter. Besides that was the most interesting thing I've eaten. It was so great at this place called Coconuts, downtown Fort Lauderdale, right on the beach, which I didn't get any beach time.
Because it was pouring.
Because it was fucking pouring.
Oh, man.
But the interesting thing is that there's a huge, you know, Latin community in Fort Lauderdale, Miami. And there's a huge Latin community here in New York as well. But sometimes it's harder to find as a gay man in like the popular neighborhoods because they closed down a lot of the Black and Latino gay bars in the West Village. They closed down the one that in Chelsea. Mm. And so it's a little hard to find. So you have to travel really far up to Washington Heights or out to Jackson Heights. And for those of you who don't live in New York, even me living in Times Square, that's still an hour ride or more by subway to get someplace to get drunk to how the hell am I getting home from here? But it was great. I had the best time all by myself dancing, this and that. People like circled around me. And then all of a sudden I met all these people, all these Latin boys. And I forgot what it was like to, not fully forgot, but to be surrounded by a community of people that you have something in common with. There's a common thread, even though one was Venezuelan and one was Brazilian and one was Colombian and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But this sense of like community that you were in, that you shared, not only that you're gay men, but you're like Latin gay men and you've like lived kind of the same experiences, and like the salsa or the merengue or the bachata comes on and we're like, and we're all dancing and we're all doing the most, which unfortunately, when that stuff comes on in a predominantly Anglo gay bar here, people don't know what to do with that, you know, or it's all Mexican hats and fake mustaches, which
can be very offensive,
which is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, and so that kind of got me like really thinking. I have Latin, Black and Latin friends here, but we're all so busy. We seldomly see each other in like a group setting. And granted, the people I hang out with now, is the group is very, very diverse. Well, like Indian people, Black people, white people, people from everywhere, which it's United Colors of Benetton.
That's my dating history.
But it's, you know, it's it's that. And I don't, I'm sure it's, I don't know if it's very relatable to you, but in the sense of you sitting on this dock in Charleston reading this book and you're like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of where this whole like revolution happened, I kind of had an awakening too of I need more of this in my life to feed kind of like my soul and my, you know?
Yeah, I had maybe the complete opposite experience of like just white guilt on that dock of knowing like the history of this area and knowing the color of my skin and the history of
America.
So
it made me a little sad that it was raining so much, and cause it was like kind of like a little gay party weekend. I didn't go out to eat as much like Latin foods or whatnot. But, and it was interesting too in the pool full of, you know, these white bears and one, I think he was Israeli or Lebanese, beautiful, beautiful man. But he was fair skinned as well, but everyone was focused because I tan very easy. Everyone was focused on me being Latin. You know, and it's a thing now. It's a thing we talk about these days, and it's a thing, you know, that just happens. But it's just really, it's always happened to me. It's just a little bit more present now.
So are you saying that when you go to Fort Lauderdale, like you find this Latin community, but then you occasionally you'll find yourself being the minority?
Yes.
Also?
Well, because the place I booked, and it couldn't have been a better place. It was just, full of like Anglo-Saxon men, which is fine, you know?
Yeah.
We had a fucking blast. I had a blast with the bears. We had the best fucking time. I got everybody
trashed.
Oh my God. It was great, you know? And they were all jealous when those boys came home with me and whatnot. So it was incredible. It was an incredible, incredible trip, an incredible retreat. You know, I came home and I crashed and I got sick. So that's why I sound like, you know.
Well, we definitely had two different experiences. Yeah, but our diverse experience.
But that's kind of what this whole pod has been about, is like the differences between us.
Yeah.
And
well,
and
I think specifically because of where we are in 2018 with our administration calling, you know, immigrants animals, and then these 1,500 children on the border not knowing where they are. And I mean, just so many things. I think
people
that,
tearing their parents away from their kids.
Yeah.
And let's just talk about the American Latins, the 4,600 Puerto Rican people have died.
Right.
4,600.
Right.
Now, we're very, very liberal here. And that's kind of why I was like, you know,
let's keep it.
Like, no, Imelda Marcos, Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of where that came out of my head, you know? But what's the like opposite side to that? Well, I want to hear, I'm always up for a good debate, you know, I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
I change my mind. Sure.
Yeah. Right.
For sure. But it's, we can't deny that we're not taking care of these people.
Right.
Our own people.
This country is built on, because, the backs of immigrants.
Which leads into the food that's built on the backs of ethnic people. We have to remember that this country is a country built from immigrants.
Right. Right. Right? And it's absolutely ridiculous what's happening.
You know? And, I mean, but there's some delicious immigrant food.
I mean, that's what I prefer.
Can we say that? Immigrant food? There's just some different, like, diverse food brought over by immigrants. Hello.
Right.
Listen, think about American food. Hot dogs, hamburgers, pie, name it, French fries.
Right.
Not American, not American, not American, not American.
Right. Right.
None of it's American.
Well, what I was really impressed with, the Nashville Scene, which is my hometown newspaper, arts paper, basically, in Nashville, after the Trump's travel ban first came out, they then printed a list of all immigrant-run restaurants that you should go immediately and support in Nashville. And I think that apparently, like, I think statistics of, like, 70% of Nashvillians support, like, taking in refugees.
Yeah. What's that process called? The road to citizenship.
It's, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But the Republicans in Tennessee...
Squash it. They, like, squashed
double,
it.
Yeah, they voted twice for against it. It's like, it's just so ridiculous. But, yeah, kids, boo.
But those kids crack me up.
But that's one thing that when we do tour, we only support mom and pop restaurants, or we eat within the homes with the families that we're staying with.
You know what? I'd love to hear what our listeners, like the diverse foods our listeners kind of eat. Because like in the next segment coming up, we need to talk a little bit about diverse foods. We've been like deep in this.
I'm talking about like plantation.
Slavery and diversity and this and that. Right, I want to get back to buttholes and, you know, fried buttholes and ranch dressing.
But it is, you know, very important that
it is.
Get
and
out there,
I mean,
folks.
I love this conversation. Yeah. I love this whole topic. I love, yeah. Even when you presented it to me, you know, 2 weeks ago,
right?
It was it's been on my mind, and I fell down many a hole, many a boy's hole, and yeah, it's great. It's great. But yeah. I think we need to entertain the masses and give them our favorite part and theirs, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Food news update. Cockroach milk. Is this the most gross superfood yet?
Ew, cockroach milk.
Those are very little titties.
Who's going to milk a cockroach?
That's gross. Yes, cockroach milk. I presented this to Marie today because it's been big news all weekend.
Really?
Yes, it's a thing.
Everyone's talking about it?
Ryan Seacrest had some this morning on Kelly and Ryan.
He tasted it?
He tasted it.
Cockroach milk?
Cockroach milk.
Like a cup of it?
No, you're only supposed to take like a dropper full.
Yeah, because they can't really, you milk a cockroach.
Well, no, it's not like that. Right? You do them with those little pointy tweezers. That's what I stole that from Kelly.
Oh my right? God. That's so funny.
Oh my God. Well, you know, we've talked about like crickets on ice cream and this and that. And this article is actually from the BBC, but they come from the Pacific beetle cockroach, which is the only cockroach that like spawns live offspring.
Oh.
And so it has to feed them. Oh. And so it's not actually milk, but it's these milk crystals that it harvests in this sac in its body.
Oh.
So they have to like cut it out, and like it's apparently labor intensive and disgusting. Mm. But apparently it's way better for you than all the other milks. Put your soy away, put your almond milk away.
The amount of protein in one little drop is more than like what, a cup of milk?
It has three times as much energy as dairy milk and packed with essential amino acids. Well, you know what? After being sick this weekend, I would have had it.
You would have had some cockroach milk?
Anything to make me feel better. There's a summer something going around, and I caught it, Jesus.
Well, just a sidebar. Have you heard that some of these dairy farmers are actually very angry that almond milk, people are calling it almond milk because it has nothing to do with milk? They want to get so PC that like they're going after soy milk, almond milk.
Oh, yeah, because it's almond beverage.
Yeah.
Almond. But, like, would you drink cockroach milk if I brought some?
Sure.
Right? We try it.
We try it. I've eaten a scorpion. I can eat cockroach milk.
It's just a dropper full.
Yeah.
He said it's, like, thick. He said it was thick and it wasn't terrible. He did take many sips of his coffee afterwards.
Really?
So, yeah.
Did his face go, like,
no, he was just, like, he was afraid. And then he was, like, So, folks, if you want to send us some cockroach milk, or if you live someplace disgusting, gather your cockroaches in a box. Check out if they're the Pacific kind.
Mm.
And milk them. Mm. You know?
Perfect for the apocalypse.
Oh, my God. And then they're thinking of turning that milk into yeast to make bread and beer. cockroach beer.
Wow. There'll be a whole new gluten allergy.
Yeah.
Or something.
Ew. Ew. Can we move on?
Okay.
Yeah.
Supermarket comically censors vulgar graduation cake.
What? Like, yay, I graduated. Fuck me in the ass?
Yeah, they wouldn't type that. No, this is a true story, and I cannot believe that this actually happened, but in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Charleston.
Surprise. Surprise.
This family ordered a cake from Publix to congratulate their son, who is graduating, and it said, congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018. That's what they ordered. Mm-hmm. When they got the cake, the word cum was
cum in this instance you know
was dashed out, so it was completely censored. So they picked up the cake and they were like, what? And the poor little Jacob was so embarrassed to be censored.
The Southerners and their Puritan values.
But of course it went viral. Like, it's been everywhere, and Publix has now been like, okay, sorry, it was a computer error or whatever. Doesn't a human do that? But yeah. Whatever. But now, like, I love that. So everyone, reported about it, New York Times, New York Post, everybody. But then Munchies just recently reported that they were like, we were able to successfully order cakes that said summa cum laude, magna cum laude, and even made you cum loud.
Made you cum loudly.
Cum loud.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that was a thing? Yeah, baby. I want your cum.
I want your cum and my moon. Yeah. My moon. Boom.
My moon. My boom boom.
My boom boom.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Oh. Okay. Canned rosé is the trend for the summer. Holla. What?
That is not a fucking trend.
Yes, it is.
Summer.
Listen, there are so many articles that have come out for not about it being a trend, but look at this canned rosé. There's this canned rosé over here. Which canned rosé is the best? So
I had canned rosé in my purse for years. It is not just now being a trend. It's like, maybe I started it years ago then.
Maybe.
It's traced back to this white girl.
Okay, Becky.
I know.
Maybe it's okay. All right.
I went and saw, talk about being so basic. I went and saw I Feel Pretty, Amy Schumer's, and I got a can of rosé and brought it into.
Well, I refuse. Me and my friend, who shall not be named, Jennifer. And
shout out, Jennifer.
Anytime we go to the theater, now they're going to check our purses. We do something called per se.
Ooh.
And not that good Thomas Keller restaurant. We literally take like Gatorade bottles full of rosé because it's so stupid to pay $18 for 4 ounces of wine.
Right. Yes.
And then $27 for a big gulp. And it's not that big.
Yeah.
$27? You know how many bottles I could buy for $27? So,
that's true. So
we take some per se,
mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I love it.
Yeah. Mm. So maybe it is a trend, or maybe it's not. I don't know.
Whatever. I'm gonna pop a can right now.
Tastes like coom. And that's the end of food news update. Don't make me laugh. You're gonna make me cough.
I know. Sick.
No, I'm on day 5 of the antibiotics and Tim. I'm on all the drugs.
Oh, good.
All the drugs and none of the good ones. Unfortunately, right? And I think that's what has me feeling like kind of like a little like woozy and you know.
Well, I know what's going to help clear up your sinuses now.
Yeah, in a minute. But I wanted to get back because we were so serious before in like the last segment. I kind of wanted to get back about like supporting, and this is very lighthearted, like just supporting, like how do you support immigrant run restaurants? And there's like this great New York Times article that we both read about like going to like your local Chinese spot like once a week isn't enough. It's kind of like a booty call because you don't like you're supporting the family, but you're not like really supporting them. It's like
go and start a relationship
with
the family.
And so do you have anything like that? Perfect. Do you have anything like that here in the city where like you go someplace and they know you?
And they're like, Norm.
Yeah. I know for me, in my neighborhood. I know I just asked you a question and we'll get to you while you think about it. But I know for me in my neighborhood, I have a Cuban restaurant that I walk in and I support all the time, and they know my face and they ask me how I am, and they're open 24/7. It's the best fucking food. There's a Turkish restaurant that I go in. They're like, hey, they know I get that lentil soup. We talked about it on the pod, that soup that's so delicious. It destroys me. But they're like, lentil soup and like chicken shish, right? I have a bunch of places like that.
Yeah.
You know, even for a while when I was going out, not that I don't go out a lot still, but I went out more back in the day. Mm. In my neighborhood, I could technically go bar to bar to bar to bar. And not pay,
like, Michael,
and not pay for a drink. I certainly like drop a 20 as a tip or something. Mm. So I wasn't like
freeloading it.
But you know, like, and it's important, like, to support these people and create a relationship. And you know, even some of the restaurants that I order takeout from, I'll walk in, I'm like, hey, I'm this guy from Seamless, and they're like, oh yeah, we know you. Extra hot sauce. Aww. You know,
that's how. So okay. Sorry, it took me a minute to remember the name of my restaurant that I always go to, but Black Iris in Fort Greene.
Okay.
I've been going, I mean, I lived in this neighborhood for 13 years, so I hope that I have one restaurant that at least recognizes me. But yeah, they're so sweet. It's owned by two brothers, and they always, they don't know me by name, but they are always like, oh, hello, you know, welcome, good to see you. How's your husband? They used to ask me that all the time because my boyfriend and I used to go in there all the time together. And then when we broke up, it was so funny. We had this 10-minute conversation about love, and like, because they were like, how's your husband? I was like, well, listen, I have to tell you, this whole time, he's not my husband. He was my boyfriend. He just moved out. I'm like kind of upset about it. And then we talked for 10 minutes about like finding love and how hard it is to date in New York City. And I was like, well, who are you dating? He's like, oh, I've been married for 30 years. I'm like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
No, but
it was fun.
I think it almost makes the food taste better.
Yeah.
Can I go out on a limb and say that?
Yeah.
That it almost makes the food taste better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the people at my liquor store know me. And let me tell you, that booze tastes great.
Mm.
But just creating these relationships with these, you know, restaurant owners that who knows where they've come from. If they are American, yeah, great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows I've been asked like how many times I've got my green card just because people are so dumb.
Ignorant.
Right?
That's stupid.
I mean, I can't even count how many times.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy. Last year it happened a lot. I think last year was like a record. But like just creating these relationships with these people and supporting these businesses, and you find these little holes in the wall and like people that know you, and it just creates for a better food experience, and I love that. And I mean, what are you all out there in podcast land? Like, where are you going? Do you have local haunts? Do you like, you know, your local Mexican joint, your local Chinese food joint where they're like, hey, we know you eat 10 egg rolls and we're not judging you, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's me at that Ollie's.
They don't judge.
Nope.
That's what that's why you cultivate these relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't judge you.
Well, when I grew up, we used to go to this pizza place every Friday night and order a pizza and take it home and watch TGIF.
Yes.
Remember that?
TGIF.
But we were so close with the family that owned the restaurant, and like as kids, they would let us come back and like make the pizzas, and it was just such a great, you know, aspect of my childhood to
and,
like go in
health and, code violation
and probably we wore gloves, did we?
No, but speaking of, Nashville is doing that great thing supporting immigrant run restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they created
that's where
that
this New York Times article was about Nashville, and Eating Without Borders was the name of this article. And because in Nashville there is a Nolensville Road in Nashville, and it's just all tons of immigrant run restaurants, a huge variety. And I think that, you know, for me, I think that it would be very important next time I go home and like continue to go to the same place to start a relationship.
But Nashville published this huge list of just immigrant run restaurants that to go support.
It's funny though. I was like, well, what immigrant run restaurants are in New York City that I should support? It's like
almost all of them.
I mean, yeah, almost
all of them.
That's why.
I mean, guess who cooks your food, y'all?
Yeah.
All the Latin people in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
If the Latin people went on strike, there would be no food to be had.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. So. Last year when the restaurants went on strike for in support of the immigrants after the travel ban came out. So many restaurants across the country went on strike, and for a full day they closed down in support of their workers.
Yeah.
So, like, we are in solidarity, I think, because we all do know that these restaurants would not be running
I know.
If it wasn't for immigrants.
It's like, it's interesting. It's interesting. Well, but my main, like, point of, like, bringing this up is, like, go out, try that new place, and if you love it, like, keep going.
Yeah.
I just found a Greek place right around the block from me. And, oh, my God, I've been three times in the past, like, or I keep ordering Seamless, you know, which I got to stop at $40 a pop. Seamless is not cheap in New York, y'all. But, you know, it's like, it's great and it's exciting and it's fun and, you know.
Olive supports immigrant run restaurants.
Olive's here. Just
my cat, sorry.
Tearing
Olive,
up.
Go away.
Oh,
right. She ran. Okay. Right.
So completely switching gears here. We have been very, very blessed with, this is episode 18 with the podcast. I have been in the food blogging world quite some time, since 2010, believe it or not. Yeah. And so very blessed where people just like trust our opinion. I don't know why, but maybe because they find us hysterical or they want. So lately, this past week, we've gotten a couple items of notoriety that we need to talk about. And I brought one special one today. I have been obsessed with this chili oil because these people that I work for, I introduced it to me. It's a Southern Asian chili oil called Chu Chow. Style chili oil. Mm-hmm. It's made by Lee Kum Kee. Lee Kum Kee. It is delicious because it's a little salty, a little spicy, a little oily. Delicious. Mm. So then we were commenting on another brand of homemade, made by Blank Slate Kitchen. And this is Szechuan chili oil.
Oh.
So they reached out to us and they're like, hey guys, you should try ours. So we're going to do a taste test. Shout out to Blank Slate. Thanks for the Szechuan chili oil.
Oh, thanks for sending it to us.
I know.
Wow.
Hello.
This was free?
Yeah.
Oh, girl.
I mean, girl.
Shit, it's going to taste good no matter what.
It better. Because Chu Chow style chili oil is hard to beat. And Marie has never tried either one of these. And so let's go on an adventure.
Okay.
And then next week, we also have another surprise for you of a gift that was sent to us.
Oh.
So, delicious. So, I'm starting Marie with the Chu Chow.
Okay.
Like, stir her up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with this. I'm obsessed, and I buy it. Oh, you should have just put it right on.
Well, I like to dip it. Plus, you're sick, and I don't want to share spoons.
Well, I didn't put a spoon in there. I haven't licked anything from there. How is that? Oh, my God.
Shit.
Isn't that delicious?
Mmm.
So.
Oh, my God, guys.
So, yeah, it's like the chili oil that you get from your, like, Chinese takeout spot. So good.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have a little bit more, because that is real good on the tortilla. Who knew?
Isn't that delicious? Describe it.
I think most people would be scared to have this kind of chili oil for fear of it being too spicy, but it's not.
No.
It's salty. It's very savory. And it's a little sweet.
But there's that back heat that's not like super spicy. Mm. It's delicious.
Drizzled on a pizza.
Oh, I thought you were about to say drizzle it on a penis.
On a penis?
No, that would burn, Jesus.
Yeah.
That would burn, baby, burn. Oh, my God. So now open up this Blank Slate homemade Szechuan chili oil and serve us both up a little bit.
Oh, shit. I can't open it.
You can't open it, girl. Come on. use a strong woman.
I can't do
Jimmy,
it. This is I don't need a man, but I need sometimes.
A man to open. That's the only thing men are good for, except for I can't open it either. Blank Slate, what did you do to this?
Oh my God, guys, how can we taste it if we can't open it?
Yay, we got it open! That took about 2 hours.
But we're back, and
oh
I
my
can't
God.
Wait to put this in my mouth.
Go ahead, do it. Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh, so this one's warmer. Like, not heat-wise, but like...
this one you can taste like
cardamom or something.
Or like cinnamon or...
ginger.
Ginger, definitely. But there's...
sesame oil.
There's like a... I like it.
It's delicious. It's very different than the chew chow, though.
Mm-hmm. You can tell it's like, it's fancy.
It is fancy. Oh, my God. So Blank Slate Kitchen is a Brooklyn-based company that crafts unique, sustainably minded pantry ingredients to help people explore, develop, and realize their own kitchen creativity. Mm. Yeah. So this is made in small batches.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's vegan. And it's vegan.
Vegan, gluten-free.
Semen-free.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
Oh, wow. Oh, it kind of makes my tongue tingle.
Yeah, I was reading that on the back. It's the pink peppercorns.
Oh, and it makes it feel like I'm having an allergic reaction?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
It is delicious. Mm. Oh,
thank you, Black Slate Kitchen.
Oh, my God. This is awesome.
Yeah, hit them up.
On some eggs?
Mm. Oh, my God. Also, don't put that on a penis.
Nope. Don't you do it.
There's almost like a five spice in there or something. There's like cinnamon or... They need to reach out and give us the secret recipe.
Yeah, because
I want to know.
Well, it does just say.
Yeah.
Canola oil, chili flakes, Szechuan peppercorns, sesame oil, salt, ginger, shallots, garlic, and spices. Spices, right. Come on, we need to know specifically what
that's like,
spices.
That's like when you read the back of a drink and it's like natural flavors.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks for the chemicals.
Yeah.
Thank you chemicals.
Thanks for sending us that.
That's great. And then I can't wait for you to see what's happening next week.
Oh, my God. Ooh, really?
Yeah, we got a package.
Oh, my
Listen,
God.
Listen, yeah, we are getting famous. You missed out. You could have been with me at the Vegetarian Food Festival.
Oh, shit.
You could have been a superstar with me at the DQ Blizzard Day.
That's right. You went to the DQ Blizzard Day. What was that?
Oh, my God. They launched they launched their new flavors for the summer.
Oh.
S'mores and like Jurassic Crunch, and there's a cotton candy one.
Twix? Do they have Twix?
Yeah, there's a Twix one.
That's the one I want.
Oh my God. I ate so much. So much. And they were great. So shout out to DQ as well.
They're following us on Instagram now.
I know. Our dreams come true.
Done.
Yeah. I had a mushroom burger from there a while ago. Not to be confused with the Sonic mushroom burger. Delicious.
Wow. I can't stop eating it.
I love
all hot sauce. You know that my Sicilian fire is almost gone.
Yeah. I actually had to get... I should have given it to you. Because I had the other three bottles left of the Golden Girls hot sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I kept the one I liked, the jalapeno. And then I gave the other two bottles away to my friend Dominic because he loves hot sauce too.
Oh.
I was like, I'm never going to go through this and it's going to get...
I'm already almost gone.
It's delicious. Yeah, this chew chow, though, I eat by like the spoonful.
Yeah.
I have to order. It's on my recurring orders. Like, I don't even have to order it anymore. It just shows up.
It's like, hey, Michael, get me home.
Yeah. It's so
This is what you put
delicious.
On dumplings. My favorite soup dumplings.
Yeah, you can order them from different Asian-style restaurants, but they're not the same, I find.
Yeah, they're all different.
They're all different. Chew chow is great. This Blank Slate Szechuan chili oil is really warm. So if you like those really warm kind of like
it's like a hug
earthy,
in your mouth.
Yes. Delicious.
Well, we have really taken y'all on quite a journey today.
I know.
I'm proud of us. You know,
I am.
At first I was a little intimidated. Oh.
I think the time has come.
As I was saying, I was a little intimidated about doing this episode because I mean, really, what's happening in the world today, it's a scary, scary thing, especially timed with watching Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, my God. Guys, get into the Handmaid's Tale because it's probably the most intense television I have ever seen.
I
blew through it in less than a week.
Yeah. It's
season
incredible.
One, and I'm caught up.
Oh, you're caught up now on season two, too?
Season two.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But watching that and then watching the, like, reading the news and all that sort of stuff, I get a little bit scared.
Well, thanks for hanging with us today, folks, out there in podcast land and bearing with, like, a little bit more, like, serious talk for In Yo Mouth.
Yeah, we kind of got in there a little
bit. We did, but, like, the whole podcast is about celebrating, you know, our difference. You know, he's from the north. She's from the south.
Yeah, we want to know what's in your mouth.
That's oh my goodness.
Oh man, I just love you, and I love how different we are, and then I love how similar we are as well. And I think, folks, y'all think we're all divided right now in this country, but if you really just sit down and have a convo with with the other person you think that you're not like, I bet you'll find something more even in common than you think.
Even of a different mindset.
Yeah.
Be open to letting someone change your mind until they piss you off majorly because they're like,
bad word.
And then you're like,
bye, don't talk to me.
All right, good night. Good night and goodbye.
But go out there, y'all, and support immigrant-run restaurants.
Yes.
Really, start a relationship with these people.
Yeah.
If you're
ordering from Seamless and you've never been to the place,
go
walk
to the
in.
Place. Yeah. Talk
walk
to
in.
Him.
Be like, I'm that guy who orders the chicken tikka masala and the 15, you know, dal and the. Oh my God.
You're like, you're not as big as we thought you would be.
Yes. You know, how's your family? I don't have one. You know?
We always put four forks in. It's just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. I love it. Well, I love you, Marie.
I love you too. I'm glad we did this. And guys, please, we're very interested in knowing where do you eat? We want to know what restaurants that you're going to. So email us at inyourmouthnyc@gmail.com.
Or you can Instagram or Twitter. Tweet to us.
Tweet us.
Tweet us at inyourmouthpod. Mm-hmm. That's inyourmouthpod.
Mm-hmm.
That is in.
Oh my God.
Marie is shaking her head at me because she knows what's coming. And with that, we'd like to say thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.